the words to that song, "Show me your ways that I may walk in you." That, I hope, is your prayer for 2018. It is hard not to lift your hand in worship when you hear those words, that we might walk in him. He has been so good. That is the cry of our heart. And my prayer is it is your cry as well. As we come to the point of the service where we're going to open God's word and read together, I want to encourage you to take a moment to prepare your hearts. If the words of that song did not do so, would you take just a second right now to simply say to the Father, "Show me your ways. Show me what you have for me this morning, and I will walk in you. Show me." That's my cry, that you'll teach me, transform me, make me more like you. Would you pray with me? Father God, I pray that in the next few moments, you would use the words that are shared, the scripture that is read, the resources that are provided, you would use these to help each of us in this room, those watching online, those listening on the radio, help each of us to be encouraged, to be transformed, to be made more into your image. Father, I pray you'd speak now. I pray that your word would be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible, please turn to Luke chapter 24. If you use a hard copy of the scripture, or if it's a phone or a tablet, whatever the case may be, Luke chapter 24. And while you're turning, I'll tell you a couple of things. I heard three actual phrases in the month of December. Here they are. Number one, just random: I hope the Braves win the World Series next year. Good luck. That's all I can say. I hope it snows on Christmas. Amen. Who said amen to that? That's good, but it didn't happen, though. Sorry, that was before, but it was a good prayer. I hope these donuts don't have calories in them. I know, Jason, I heard you back there, friend. So, actually, I said all three of those things. It was myself, but we do say those things. We can hope for all kinds of things, but that does not make them so. I can hope my family, you can hope your family is healthy, but you got to take some steps for that. We can hope, you hear people say, "I hope my family can get out of debt." You have to take steps for that. I hope our church will grow. That's a nice hope, but it can simply be wishful thinking. A lot of people hope for a better life. There's probably not a person in this room who, here we are 7 days into the new year, that doesn't say, "I hope 2018 is a great year for living." We can all hope such things. But I want to remind you of something if you're writing notes today, and that is this: hope is not a strategy. Now, this is important. You can hope for your church to grow. You can hope for people to come to Christ. You can hope for your family to move from dysfunction to function. You can hope for your marriage to be strengthened. You can hope for your children to be disciplined. You can hope for all kinds of things, but here's the stark reality: hope is not a strategy. It's not. Hope is sometimes just wishful thinking. The word hope is mentioned in the Bible 129 times in 121 verses. And a number of times that it's mentioned, it really just refers to wishing hope, worldly hope. I wish for something to happen. But the main concept in Scripture of hope is trust in God and trust in His Word. If you have a Bible dictionary on your Bible app, I'm sure it would pull this right up and show you. Most Bible dictionaries define hope this way: to trust in, to wait for, to look for, desire something, or desire someone. That is what hope is. So in the Old Testament, there are a number of words that were originally written in Hebrew that we have translated as hope. Two of those that are the main words are the word kawa, which means to trust, it means to wait on, and the word batah, it means to trust in something, to grab hold of it. Then in the New Testament, there are a number of words as well, but there are two primary Greek words that we translate as hope, and those words are elpizo, which means trust in God, and then the one that's used the most is hupomeno, and that word literally means to patiently endure, to wait on God. Stay in Luke 24, but let me read a couple of other verses to you. Jeremiah 14, 22 says this: "Are there any among the false gods of the nations that can bring rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Are you not he, O Lord our God? We set our hope on you, for you do all these things. Notice that hope is trusting in God. Then Ephesians 1 verse 10 says this, in him, God, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Did you notice? It says we hope in Christ. Now, what does that tell us? It's simple. Hope is an active word. It is not a passive thought. When we use hope, it's often just a passive thought. Well, I hope this happens. I hope that happens. Hope in the scripture is meant to be an active. It's a verb most of the time, almost always. It's action. It is a verb. It's an action that reminds us we are to hope, trust in God, wait in God, endure in him. And so over the course of the next 6 weeks, here's what we're going to do. We will be unpacking truth from God's word about how to have a strategy as you hope in him, and also how to have a plan for hoping in his truth. So what we'll do, we're going to call this series Equipped, and we're hoping that our entire faith family, from the adults all the way down to the children, will be equipped for life, will be equipped to grow, that we'll be equipped to serve, we'll be equipped to last, and we'll be equipped at home as well. We're going to get very specific and what we will talk about and how it can apply to your life. I hope you will leave every week, these next 6 weeks, with resources that you can go home and put into place that equip you for the hope you have in Christ. So it's not just wishful thinking. It's how we live that out and what we do with it. So today, we're going to talk about being equipped for life. And here's the truth. It may seem oversimplified, but I mean this from the bottom of my heart. If you want to be equipped for life, it's all about Jesus. Amen? Listen, that's important that you understand that. It's not all about the tips and techniques of the Bible, although there are wonderful qualities there for us. It's not all about just good stories. It's not all about trying to make your marriage a little better, trying to help your kids be a little better. Listen, the true hope for life is Jesus. It is all about him. Luke 24 is where you are. Look at verse 44. Luke 24 44. It says this. This is Jesus speaking. Then he said to them, Jesus, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Listen, that's powerful. Jesus said he was the fulfillment of the scriptures. Your Bible is so important, and it contains truth, and you need to be absorbing and engaging and enveloping yourself in God's word consistently. But please hear me say this, without Jesus, that is of no value. It's important. God's word is truth, but it all is fulfilled in Jesus. You cannot miss Jesus in this. And so at the beginning of this year, friends, if you really want to be equipped for life, it starts with your walk with Jesus. It all points to him. John 5:39 says this, this is Jesus speaking again, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. And that's not talking to you, it's talking to a specific group of people. But what does that tell us? Jesus is saying, I bring new life. Jesus brings new life. The word of God is from him and it is fulfilled in him. Now, that's important, simple theology, but it is important. So hoping for a better life, really, I would say this, if that's your goal for 2018, to hope for a better life, you've set too small a goal. What I would encourage you to do is hope for new life. And hope for a transformed life, what he can do new in you. So it all starts with the relationship with Jesus. Now, I realize that a number of people in this room already have received the free gift of salvation of Jesus. He has made you new in him. But I would dare say there's probably some in this room who have yet to do this. So I don't want the very first Sunday of 2018 to go by without an opportunity to know what it means to have Jesus in your life. So give me just a couple of minutes and everyone be reminded of your faith. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Who is whosoever? Who's a whosoever in the room? You're a whosoever. We are whosoevers. You are part of that whosoever. Whosoever believes in him. It doesn't mean just to believe he exists, like you can believe in any number of things. It means to believe in him means to trust, to hope in him. To whoever believes in him would have everlasting life, life with God for eternity. So there is the beauty of what happens, but why do we need that? What took place? Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Turn to the person next to me, to you, and say, you're a sinner. Woo, come on, somebody's gonna get their feelings hurt. Okay, now wait a minute. I didn't say start listing them. Back up, okay. So now, that's true, but it's not true, okay? I'm gonna fix it now. All have sinned and fall short of God's glory. There's not a person in this room listening by radio, watching online, driving down the street right now. There's not a person that has not sinned, that has not disobeyed God, fallen short of his glory. There's not one. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, separation from God, but the gift of God is eternal life. So the reality is the large majority of us in this room who just looked at someone and said, you're a sinner, that's not true theology right now. You really could look at them and say, if you have understood the wage of sin is death, but you've received the gift of new life, really I could say to you, hey, you're a saint. Now there's a difference, okay? But we all started as sinners. And so for the moment, we're going to take and base from that foundation for everyone in the room. Everyone in the room has come to a place where we've disobeyed God. And for those of us that have received his free gift of mercy, of new life, then God has positionally, we talked about this last week, made you a saint. You are new in his eyes and new in him and new in standing with him. He does the work. You didn't earn it. It's a gift. You can't lose it. It's a gift. You can't trade it in. It's a gift or take it back. It's a gift. But this gift lasts for all eternity. And so the reality is if you're here and you've given your life to Jesus right now, just thank him for that. Thank him that even though you have continued to sometimes sin, even in your sainthood, you've continued to sometimes sin, that he has washed all that clean and made it new because that's who he is. He gives us an opportunity to walk new in him. But if you're here and you've never trusted him as Savior or you have some doubts about it, right now, in this moment, 10:54 a.m., Sunday, January the 7th, now's your time. Stop. And just confess your sin to the Lord in your heart, in your mind. Confess them to him. Say, Father, I need you. I need you to give me new life. Receive his free gift of grace. He would love for you to do that. Now, there are a number in this room who have done that, but you're struggling. You've done so and you say, I don't know really how to get this thing off the ground, my walk with Christ, that relationship. What do you do? Well, I would say it starts with a few simple things. The scripture's pretty clear. It starts with steps of obedience. One of the first steps of obedience is to be baptized. Scripture's very clear about that. Once we give our lives to Jesus, we follow through with the step of obedience. Now, the baptism's not what saves you. It's not. It is what allows us to walk in steps of obedience. And so I encourage you to take those steps of obedience and then to plug in, to start growing in your faith, get to know him more and more through God's word. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment, how to dig deep into that, how you can do it on your own at home, how you can do it here as a group, in a small group, in Sunday school, how you can be a part of that on Wednesday nights. And then coming, lastly, I would say, is coming here to worship. The reality is your true walk with Christ and your intimacy with him will not happen in these pews. It can be strengthened here, but if this is the sum total of your intimacy with Christ, friends, I have to tell you, you are missing out on what God has for you. I used this illustration a few years ago, but I'll use it again. It holds pretty true. There was a story back in the 1800s of a family, a poor family, in a southern town that were just didn't have money hardly to make ends meet, but the little boy would work hard, and he heard that the circus was coming to town, and so he begged his parents, please, can I go to the circus? They said, okay, you work really hard, do all your chores, do all the things you're supposed to do. When I tell this story, I picture Little House in the Prairie in my mind. I don't know why, but anyway, I don't know what you picture, but you picture something. So he does his chores, he does this. It comes time, the circus train pulls into town. He knows that. He goes to his father, said, I've spent weeks doing my chores, can I go to the circus? His father says yes, reaches into his pocket, takes out a nice, shiny dollar coin and says, yes, you can go. Take this. You've worked hard for it and go. So he takes that coin. He runs all the way to town to where the circus is coming. And just as he arrives into town, they have unloaded the train and they're having the circus parade where all of the animals and all of the sideshows and all the things are happening, and they're marching through town to the other side of town where a tent will be set up and they'll have the circus. And the boy walks up right in the middle as the parade goes by, and he sees an elephant go by, and he's never seen such a thing. It's amazing. He sees a cage with a lion in it, and he just can't imagine what that must be like if he could get just a little closer. He sees the strong man come by. He sees the ringmaster come by. The clowns come by. And at the very, very end of the little parade through town is one lonely clown with the big floppy feet, and he's walking at the very, very end of the line. And as the little boy, as that clown gets in front of him, the little boy runs out to the middle of the parade and hands the clown his dollar bill and says thank you, or his coin, says thank you, and runs all the way home. He misses the circus. He thought the parade was the circus. How sad that is to think that he missed the real show. He missed the circus by simply just watching and enjoying the parade. Now, I'm going to try to bring this back here for us this morning. If your intimacy with Christ and your relationship with him is purely built on what happens sitting in these pews for an hour on Sunday mornings, hear me say this, you have missed the circus for the parade. The most important thing I could tell you is that new life is lived with you one-on-one with the Lord. You living with other believers in community, in Sunday school small groups and other small group gatherings, living your life together, praying for one another, encouraging one another, how you study on your own what you do. You see, this is wonderful, but I would truly compare this to the parade, because there's truth here, there's excitement here, there's worship here. It's great to gather, but this alone, what happens in a worship service, will never be enough for you to truly keep growing in new life in Christ. So friends, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I simply want to say, I don't want you to miss what God really has for you. So would you this year make a commitment to take it a step further beyond the pews in the worship service, that you're going to invest in a small group? Some of you need to make a decision to unite with a church like this one. Maybe you want to join. You want to be baptized. You want to make a commitment to serve in some way. You'll get in a small group, a Sunday school class. You'll take the next step, just growing in your walk with him. Commit to God's word. We talked about this last week at home, spending time with him one-on-one. So I want to encourage you with that today. Immerse yourself in his new life, in his truth. And truthfully, I'm going to tell you, immerse yourself in his people, in what God has for us. So here's some practical tools that I want to talk to you about really quickly today. I said we'd be practical every week about how to have new life. Let me start with this. First of all, Sunday school small groups. In these small groups that happen throughout our church, you will find that people are living life together, praying together, serving together from time to time, growing together. It works because it's done together, and it's done in community. You see people sitting in circles, not people sitting row after row after row. So it's important to gather in these times. If you're not part of a small group, friends, the commitment I'd ask you to make today is next week, show up an hour early and find a way to be involved. I promise you, you will not regret growing in the context of a life of believers. So I encourage you to that. Second, last week we talked about reading plans and resources to help you read. We still have a few of the reading books available outside. The books are $10, but all the reading plans are free. How to systematically read the Word of God. And again, don't get bogged down in, I've got to read it all in a year. Don't worry about that. Take your own pace, but be systematic in the reading of God's Word. There are several plans out there for you to read. On Wednesday nights, this coming Wednesday, I'll be leading a Bible study. It'll be our only adult study on Wednesday nights for the next 30 days. And the study is called 30 Days to Understanding the Bible. And it takes about 10 to 15 minutes a day, depending on how fast you read or not, of your own time. But then we'll come together once a week and we'll just discuss and we'll kind of share from this. No videos, we're just going to be us discussing, and I'll be teaching a little bit through this. And we're going to look in 30 days at how to truly understand all the scripture, the narrative of it together. So if you're saying, that's a great place for me to start, Wednesdays at 6 o'clock. We'd love to have you be here for that. Our children will be having their worship grow serve tracks. Our teenagers have a special series they're working through right now. I encourage you to come and be a part of that on Wednesday nights. Now I want to share a couple of more tools that we have available at our disposal, some that we have paid for and some that are just free that I want to tell you about and how you can be involved. If you are someone who says, I want to get to know God more intimately in this day and age, living in this day and age, we have no excuse anymore, because even of the simple technologies amazing technologies that have been provided for us in simple ways. Let me start with the YouVersion Bible app, or it's also, if you don't have a smartphone, it would be called Bible.com if you are on the internet. So there are very few people in the room that do not have internet access. If you do, you can go to Bible.com, www.bible.com, or if you have a tablet or a smartphone in any capacity, if you don't know if your phone is smart or not, ask somebody near you, they can tell you. But if you can put an app on there or a resource, that's a smartphone. And so we would encourage you to download what's called the YouVersion. It's Y-O-U, it's on the screen, version Bible app. It's out there. Now, a church created this app, a church that has 27 locations of worship on weekends and has close to 80,000 people worshiping with them over the course of a weekend together. They could really do whatever they wanted to with their funds and resources, but they decided they wanted to give everything away, and they wanted to change the world by putting a quick access to the Bible in everyone's hands. And so they invested millions of dollars in this app, YouVersion app, and it has been downloaded now almost 1 billion with a B times in the world. It's amazing. It's in hundreds of languages. There are hundreds of plans there. So here's what we're going to do. You may not be able to see this very easily, but we created a little screenshot video that's my phone, and this is me walking through it. So you click on the app, and then you'll notice down at the bottom it says read. When you click on read, you'll see you can scroll up and find the book of the Bible you'd like to read. You select the book, the chapter, and then you can start reading. You can choose any translation you would like. There are hundreds there and available for you. After you do that, you can highlight a passage and it'll save it for you just like you would do in your Bible. What's interesting is you can highlight that passage and you can send it to a friend. Then you can click on plans and you'll see my plans. Right here is a family devotion. All 5 people in my household are doing this on a different piece of technology. So together we do this, and it'll take a second for it to scroll through there. I don't know why that's so slow, but it's going to come. There's a little green arrow at the bottom, and you will see when you click the green arrow, it will show the devotion that we chose for the day. This day was What Does God Say About Belonging? So we'll read it together as a family. My children and I will each read it. They might have a little tablet or a screen or something to read it on. And then you get to read the scripture verse. The next scripture verse, it puts a little green arrow. And at the end, each person in our family can make a comment of what God is saying to them, how they can use it, how it applies to someone else. And so you have that. You can click on Find Plans, and there are thousands of devotionals already on this resource, this app, or this website for you. You can use any number of people that would be there, any number of plans that would be available. There's an entire section called New to Faith. You'll see it kind of scrolling there. You can click through the Bible. You can click on the marriage studies. I think when it recorded, it has slowed down the way it shows here. But under marriage, you can click on a study and see those just as well. If you have a particular topic you want to study, like the word anger, you can go to the little sign for search and type in the word anger. You'll see that I typed it in here. In just a second, it'll come right up. And then it will show you all of the studies based off that word anger right there. And these are all there to help you. It's all free. And we would encourage you, if you're someone that's thinking, well, I'm just not sure where to start. Well, this is a place that can help you know where to start. So Bible.com, all of this is there, or on one of your apps in your phone, you help yourself there. Now, let me stop and say this. We are not saying technology is the answer for your faith. We are simply saying there is wonderful technology available that will help anyone who wants to grow to be able to assimilate what would have taken, what would have took hundreds of different commentaries to put together. They're all right there free for you. You say, I don't know if I can learn how to use it. You can. My 7-year-old uses it, my 10-year-old, my 16-year-old, my wife. I didn't say your age, Lily. See there? See, but you've got a birthday in 2 weeks. But anyway, I won't say how old it's going to be. But the 47-year-old. We all use it at different paces, but we do it together. We write notes together. And it's been a great way for us to connect. It's been fun. We've enjoyed doing that together. Now, if you use YouVersion, you may not have been using the reading plans. I would encourage you to do so. You can connect to a friend on there. It's very simple. If you decide with a group of ladies that you want to hold one another accountable, you find a special study that's maybe on the topic of joy. And so you, when you hit the plan, it will tell you that it's been read by, if it's 10,000 people, it'll tell you that. And then when you start the plan, it'll say, would you like to do it alone or with friends? If you say with friends, you just type in their cell phone numbers. It's going to send them a little request that your friends can join you. And then together, you'll do just what my family did. You'll link together, encourage one another. It's nice. It's great. No one else sees that but the people you want to, and I encourage you with that. Now, with that being said, I want to tell you about one more tool. This is important. This tool is something that we have just paid for as a church for your use for the next 12 months. Now, we'll renew it again, but we've committed for 12 months to use this. And I am so excited about this brand new tool resource we have that you can use in the home, you can use in Sunday school, you can use in a small group you start in your house, you can use it on the go for your private life. We'll use it for Wednesday night Bible studies, that some that might be video-based, whatever the case may be. There's a fairly new service called Right Now Media. And Right Now Media has done a wonderful job of really becoming sort of the Christian version of Netflix, would be the best way to describe it. So I want you to watch a 2-minute video describing what they do. It's their little video that gives the explanation.
Our church is a light in the darkness, a city on a hill. Every believer is called to make a difference in the world, to love God completely, and to make disciples of every nation. But in this busy, mobile, noisy world, it can be difficult to even do the basics, to pray, to read the Word, to bring the love of God to our marriages, families, neighbors, and co-workers. We know you're here because you want to be a part of God's mission on the earth. You want to experience the abundant life that Scripture talks about. You're looking to connect your faith to every part of your life, every day of the week. That's why our church is subscribing to Right Now Media and making it available for free to every member of our church. You'll have access to over 10,000 online Bible study videos on parenting, marriage, finance, discipleship, leadership, and many more. The videos can be used in Bible study groups or for personal devotion. There's also a huge library of safe biblical kids videos. We'd love to see every member of our church utilizing Right Now Media. Small group leaders leading their adult or youth groups through engaging Bible study series. Children enjoying safe programming that doesn't just entertain, but helps lay a strong spiritual foundation. Families spending quality time together, going through devotional Bible studies. Couples using biblical studies on marriage, parenting, and finance. Applying God's Word to every area of their lives. There is something for everyone. We want to help you grow as a disciple of Christ, and we want to help you become a disciple maker in your home, your school, your workplace, your neighborhood, in whatever mission field God has called you to. We believe that this free resource will help equip and unleash you to live out your faith in every area of life, to experience God-centered, abundant life, not just on Sundays, but every day. We are for you, and God is for you. He wants to empower you every day to live for Him. Together, we can be a light in the darkness, a city on a hill.
So let me explain a little bit about what this is. It is not intended to take the place of your Bible study. We simply want to give you an enhancement that will help you if you have questions. We really want to be about equipping you with resources in 2018. And so part of what will happen as you continue your personal time with the Lord, as you continue to work through books of the Bible, you continue to study, as you continue to gather in groups, this is an extra resource you can use. I've already found it very beneficial in the couple of days I've had it to be able to take a look at it and see what is there. And so I simply want to explain this. First of all, if you're a parent in the room and you have a child that is connected to technology at all, maybe they have some type of little tablet, any type, you can download an app for them that puts all of the kids' programming, and there are hundreds of animated videos for children that have been designed with wonderful truth. It's everything from VeggieTales to you name it. You'll recognize a lot of the things there. It's all for free, every last bit of that. Well, there is a cost, but we've paid for it for you. We want to invest in our families in the church. So I want to show you really quickly, again, one more little thing to help it make sense, because I know it can be overwhelming to think, how would I use this? We have one more little video that was made, and it's basically, I logged in to rightnowmedia.org, and you will notice pretty quickly that some will start to kind of scroll across the top. Those are the more popular of the studies or newer studies that have just come out recently in there. And then you'll see I started to scroll down. And as I scroll down, you can see you can search by categories. You have all types of people's studies, everyone from Tony Evans, Matt Chandler, Louis Giglio, Max Lucado, anyone you can imagine. There are different projects and different studies there, over 10,000. We've been using the Bible Project in our young adult small groups. They're listed right here as well. Each one of them you could have. It's an explainer video for every book of the Bible. Very helpful. Very, very useful to give you an overview. If you're studying through something in the book of Genesis and you want to get a quick overview of what Genesis is about and how it fits together, all the audio is there that goes with this. It's very quick access for you. Then I went back to the home button again, and you'll notice from here, I scrolled over to kids, and when you click on kids, you'll receive hundreds and hundreds of videos that are available right here. Right here, you'll see Phil Vischer. Phil Vischer is the creator of VeggieTales, but he has created, just for this website, many videos that are explainer videos that explain theology to children, theological concepts. It'll use him being silly along with a little animated character, but this is one, for example, explaining some of the book of Ephesians. Very well done for preschoolers or for young children to be able to use, and it's all free and safe to use. Go back to home, scroll down a little bit on the left-hand side. You'll see I'm going to click on Albertville FBC. This is our unique page. We have a missions conference coming up, so we're encouraging everyone to spend 30 minutes to watch a little video by Francis Chan called In Light of Eternity to set up for that. On this same page, we will put all of our midweek Bible studies, any resource that is there. If you attend a ladies' Bible study on Wednesday night and you have to miss a week and you say, I'm not going to get to see the content of that video, you just log on and watch it on your own. Not a problem at all. It's a resource to help you, and we want to encourage you with that. Now, how do you get this resource? Open your email tomorrow. We will send you an invitation. It'll come from our church. It will not come from another address. We're not going to send you spam or junk mail from someone else. You'll get it from Albertville FBC. It's an invitation. You have to put in your name and you put in a password. You create it yourself. We won't ever know your password. It'll just be you. And you'll have access to all of these resources. Why are we doing this? Because we want this year to be a year we help equip you and equip my family and your family to be able to continue to grow and to grow in Christ. Again, these are just tools, but they're tools to help us make daily decisions that we will grow in our walk with Christ. Here's what I've come to realize over the last few years. The older I get, the more I realize this. Simple decisions daily add up because decisions compound over time. Have you noticed that? The decisions you make today compound over time. And they will affect you. What you do now will affect your life a decade from now. The habits you put into place now, what you invest in your children, what you invest in your own health, what you invest, it'll make a difference years down the road. So I'm simply asking you today, as we have realized from Scripture that Jesus is the fulfillment of all of this, we want all of this to point you to Jesus. We want to give you some tools and resources. We mostly want to encourage you to commit to a small group, Commit to God's word. Commit to your personal study. Commit to serving in some way. Every person in the room, you must say, I'm already committed to those things. Make a renewed commitment today for this coming year. Would you do so? We invite you to do so. I'm going to pray for us. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Father God, I believe the truth of the scripture that we have read, where you tell us very clearly that it is in you that we have obtained an inheritance, that we have our hope in Jesus. Father, I believe clearly the scripture in the book of Luke that tells us that Jesus is the fulfillment of all the promises of the Bible. Father, I believe the scripture we read in John chapter 5 that reminds us that it's possible to know some of your word but still not know you. We need you. So, Father, my first prayer this morning is this: if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, that right now they would settle that. If there's anyone here that has recently settled their walk with you, that they would have the courage in just a moment when we start to sing to come down this aisle and just simply say in front of this congregation to me, just simply to take me by the hand and say, I've given my life to Jesus. I want to grow in my walk with him. Maybe some are committing to be baptized in the next few weeks. Maybe others are committing to unite with this faith family. You want to join here because you want to be a part of what God is doing here in our city and around the nation. Listen, we're just one of many faith families you could be a part of, but we would love to have you be a part of ours. Maybe for you, it's a renewed commitment to God's word, to allowing it transform your life. And then lastly, maybe though you're here, and maybe you are living out that little last part of the definition of the word hope. Maybe the way you are hoping is because you're having to patiently endure through something. Maybe your hope in God is patient endurance because you're waiting for God to finish something he has started. Well, if that's the case, I invite you to come and pray and to continue to say, God, I will hope in you. It is active. It's not passive. I will hope in you. I will trust in you. Maybe for others, though, maybe you've got a prayer request. You've got a need. And maybe you realize that your hope has been simply that. You thought hope was a strategy, but you realize you need to have a strategy to hope in Christ. And so you want to come make a renewed commitment to one of these things we've discussed, whatever the case may be. Father God, I pray if anyone here has given their life to you today, they would make that public. I pray if there's anyone here that wants to unite with our faith family today, they would do so. If there are others here who simply say, I'm tired of what's been happening in my life, I need life change, they would come and give you an opportunity to do that in their life, that we could pray for them. Whatever the case may be, may hope become active in us today as we are equipped for life. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing.